that you feel like you're having an issue. Is it only me? Like that, I don't know. I think the Lord wants to meet many of you. We're going to do some ministry time out here. I hate Sundays when the Sundays are past. If you're not here as it's hard to see that I'm standing. I have more energy because I got to talk. You got less energy. And if you're trying to fall asleep, or if you are falling asleep, it's the devil, so be good. And you need to stand up and walk around. No. Don't worry, I'm not going to judge you. But that's the demons of sleeping and so on. That's okay. Just get up and walk around. It's important for you to pay attention. Really important. Not so much as the listeners of this message, but as the nature's of the message. So if today was unusual, thank you, Grace, and appreciate for your composure. Grace, even though Mike and people love but I felt like anticipation. I don't know if it was, again, I'm just projecting my feelings onto you and thinking maybe some of you are feeling it too. Anyone relate to what I'm saying? Just the Lord wants to be used. And we don't want to get in your way. All these churchy stuff is good, but sometimes we do it automatically, by habit, and we unintentionally prepare barriers. So we want to just remove anything that can be used. What's important to all of you, especially young ones, is to pay attention. Pay attention. Try to listen hard. I know I'm not the best speaker to the generation Beta or Alpha. We're the Greek alphabet now. Like X, Z is stuff, right? Generation Z. Was there a Generation Z? Or was that replaced by the Millennium? There wasn't. Okay, I am so decades old. So, baby boomers, Gen X. That was a Gen Y? Was it a Gen Y? I don't forget it, okay? Like, if you're born in the year like after 2000, which is an can anyone be born in the year 2000? When I have a daughter who was born in 2000, 2001, and shut, boggles my mind. How is that possible? Someone born in 2005, for example. But anyway, that's just an old guy. I've become an old guy now. The Lord wants to be. The last two times I spoke, I wanted us to consider what's called post-resurrection experience. What I mean by that is, how did people encounter Jesus after his resurrection, after his ascension? Because often when we read about the gospel, that's Jesus pre-resurrection, pre-ascension. But after, was there any difference? And the reason why I want to look at it is the Jesus post-resurrection, post-glorification is the Jesus now. Okay? It's the Jesus now. So we looked at Thomas. We looked at Thomas's response. His friends had seen the resurrected Jesus. Thomas, as a commonsensical man, says, unless I put my finger in his side, see the nail marks, I will not believe. He's so traumatized and so, shaken up. He said, you guys are speaking of ghosts. I can't even believe it, even though you're my friends. I can't believe it unless, and he puts down the condition for Jesus. And Jesus, out of his mercy, he comes, he appears. Put your finger in my side. Thomas, After that experience, just confesses automatically, my Lord and my God. That experience is so phenomenal, he confesses a truth that he doesn't even fully understand. He saw a resurrected one. By the way, all of us will be resurrected. So the mere fact of resurrection doesn't make us God. But Thomas had never seen, or human beings at that point, had never seen a resurrected body, let alone a resurrected friend, and out of his mouth comes this amazing confession. My Lord and my God, and then Jesus gently corrects him, Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who believe without seeing. He's addressing us. Blessed are those who now lay down conditions for belief. We don't set down conditions for our belief. That's arrogance. That's human pride. Say, God, you've got to prove yourself to me. But what happens if God doesn't take that offer? We should have the humility to say, Lord, your signs, your words are in mine. Your testimony through your friends is in mine. Tom should have said, hey, Peter, John, I believe you. You are trustworthy. You guys don't lie. So based on your word, I believe. That would have brought joy to Jesus. But again, Jesus' love is so grand. He will sometimes stoop down to our level and meet us. And he does that with others. The second person is Saul on the road to Damascus. Totally on fire for Yahweh, for God. And he hears about this movement called the Way, and you think this is sectarian, this is cultic, this is the perversion of Judaism. So Paul is sincerely devout. He sees this movement of people following Yeshua, this supposedly Messiah, as a danger to Judaism. So out of filled with zealous energy, he's going around the lucky somebody. Damascus wrapped up all these dangerous false beliefs, and in the middle of that trap, Jesus appearing and says to them, Saul, Saul, Abram, Abram, Samuel, Samuel. A way of saying, Jesus said, Saul, I know you. Why are you persecuting me? And Saul is thoroughly thrown off guard, like, what? Who are you, my Lord? I am Jesus. And then Jesus gives him his mandate, including, you will suffer a lot for my name. And as a symbol of his spiritual blindness, Paul saw that he was blinded for 3 days. And he's made dependent on God. And Jesus prophesies to a man named Ananias, you're going to be a man, and so forth, sets up. And Saul ends up seeing physically and spiritually. And he becomes the most important evangelist, apostle, church leader, Christian leader in all of human history. And that message for us is God knows us by name. Nancy, Nancy. Rachel, Rachel, Sabrina, Sabrina, like, he would look at each one of us and he would know us and he would know our destiny. Now, this third encounter is from Revelation. I want us to read it first. Last book of the Bible. Probably one of the last books of scripture. I mean, it's scholars think it's written around 94, 95 AD. John is a very, very old man. He looks at the Bible museum, there's like a little video of John. Well, and so I just want us to look at the first chapter. Again, our attention is, who is Jesus? How is he appearing? Big question is, who is Jesus? the who and the what, the character, is going to determine how you respond. The reality is, many people in churches, I'm just going to say that, we shape Jesus according to what we like. But there are parts of it we don't like, we just kind of shave that off. It's like a wax figure. Perfect. Cute, lovable, not threatening. Perfect. I could be your friend.
That's idolatry.
You're making your own God. You're making your own God. So what we want to do is humbly say, Lord, we don't really know you really well. We know you, but we don't fully know you, and we want to grow in our knowledge of you. Okay? Truth isn't determined by our construct. It's discovered. Love should be discovered. So we want to discover you. And then on the basis of who you are, we want to respond. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave them to show his servants what must take place, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. Okay, a bit complicated. God speaks to Jesus, Jesus sends his angel, the angel speaks to John. It's like that. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So blessed are you even as you listen. Blessed am I as I listen. It's the revelation of the apocalypse, prophecy, and letter, all three of them. And the angels speak to John. John's being addressed. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, which happens to come out today in Turkey. So all the seven churches are located in Asia Minor. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be his kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So it shall be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, a brother and companion in suffering, in kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on the scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and living. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So begins this amazing prophecy. Bewildering in parts, but very clear. It's the Lord Jesus speaking, full of symbols, full of power, but full of this earthly, this worldly truth. This is not a lost stone, fictitious stone. This is John is on the island of Patmos. He's not there for vacation. It's a small, rocky, volcanic island. And at that time, it was already known as an island of the Red Side. If you got in trouble with the government, you got sent there. It's like Alcatraz. So we know during the spirit of severe persecution. Persecution from without. And in the church, that's false teaching. And in some churches, there's complacency. Within a short matter of a few decades, some people have lost their first love. The following Jesus has become gross, avid, just, religious. This compromise, sexual sins, all kinds of sins. Much like that. Even though people might have encountered the Lord, after a while, you know, some people will get into bad habits. But I want us to consider how Jesus, some of it's cultural. What is the Alpha and the Omega? Smart kids, what alphabet is that from? Is that Chinese? Is that Spanish? Any guesses?
Greek.
What was that? Greek. Because of fraternity, sororities? Yeah. I think that's the only place you hear about the, you know, beta, gamma, whatever, delta. It's free. I am the A and the Z. I am the first and the last. It's a way of saying, I'm the eternal one. I'm the everlasting one. I am the beginning and the end. And by the way, in between, I'm the whole thing. I'm the one who determines life and death. I'm the judge. It's very interesting, in the Old Testament, there are great powers like Egypt, Assyria, Persia, Babylon, but the biblical writers do not magnify them. They're demons, but what's really interesting when I teach on deliverance, there are not many, many chapters, texts in the Old Testament about demons, even though demons, Shadim, were rampant. Why? Because there's something else more fearful, fearsome. That's Yahweh. Not an empire, not a pharaoh. The person that is fearsome is God. When you have the one in whom is all power and authority, that's the one you should fear. And so Jesus appears as a fearsome figure. And that's why John's response is, he falls down as though dead. That's a rational fear. I'm going to define fear, not in a personal way, just stay in the Bible. I broke it down this morning. But we all know fear, we've experienced it. An unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, like to cause pain or threat. I would say it's more than a belief, sometimes it's a quick perception. When a tiger comes after you, like in the news, Bethesda, you know, a tiger, that's not a tiger, but when a fierce dog comes after you, you may not have time to formulate a belief. There's a dog that's going to bite. It's a perception. And when human beings see something dangerous, we have what's called fight or flight response. It's a physiological response. One of the things I hate about bicycling is the danger of getting hit by a car. A few times they got really close. Of course, I don't tell this to them because I know her reaction. Let alone my mom, she would like have a heart attack. So I fell a couple times. I still have scar marks on my head. I'm not going to show them to you. That would be inappropriate. It's like a red mark right here. So then. And then about a month later, I have a big crash on my shoulder. So now I'm symmetric in trauma. Like the left side got hit, my right side got hit, now I'm just symmetrical. By the way, I got healed during this past weekend. When I did a retreat, I was at Big Bear on a retreat. And no one prayed for me, but in the middle of it, I went, my shoulders, my calf, I had a terrible calf strain. I could barely walk. Every morning I would get up, I'm like a 95 old man. My left ankle's hurting, my calf is hurting, and then I would wake up in the morning, a big bear from the tree. In the morning I would sit up and go to the bathroom and go, whoa, what was that? So I told Pastor Danny, I got healed, and he says, oh yeah, there's been a healing anointing in our church. People feel getting healed without anything. And then I talked to this guy I met, and I said, hey, I got healed. My calf, my ankle would kill me. And then he goes, you know, I got the calf and the ankle. I didn't have it before. And I felt like, this isn't going to go out. And I said, dang, sorry. My first went off to you, but I did a problem. I'm sorry. I've totally lost my strength. fight response. That's just not. We tend to think of fear as all bad, but really, fear is in our brain. Fear is necessary for survival. If you don't believe me, ask our MD PhD. And our PhD and our MD. All the doctors, all the medical doctors, or real doctors. Don't stand up, but you know that. I asked them, is fear like normal? Yes. Very normal. It's a response to being dead. And so Jesus appears. You can just imagine, some of these are not completely like culture only. Like if Jesus were to appear just like this, all of us will pee in our pants or fall down or do. We'll do both. I have the peeing in our pants just for the kids. And I'm late. Okay? You guys relating to me? No smile, Jacob, Christopher, come on. Peeing in your pants, okay? Every kid loves that. It's like heart shows. Everybody loves that. Come on now. Okay. I'm just going to pretend you guys aren't here. But when someone strikes the heart, it's not that appealing. So I'm going to just play it out. So if Jesus were to appear, we would be in our pants. We would respond with great fear. And I would call that rational fear. There are irrational. There are fears that people have that's not based on reality, it's based on their fault, their belief that something's going to happen. But this is a rational fear. John is responding to someone he recognizes, but someone he also doesn't recognize. Jesus is this you? I don't know. Jesus falls down. Jesus reaches out and says, quickly address these emotions, not the day. So the time for those emotions. I am the living one. I was dead and now I live. And look, I am alive. I will be supreme. So you move from fearfulness to being in awe. And then response to God, those are the appropriate responses. We truly see who God is. There is legitimate fear. Some of you know this, but the fear of God has been a gift to me. I did not grow up in a Christian home, although I accepted Jesus through a black and white tee when I was 9 years old. My parents didn't go to church. The only time I went there, you know, Easter and Christmas, and those experiences were not always positive. So, why am I here? But I believe enough in Jesus. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, I do not recommend young people, but back in the day, sometimes some of us, like Pastor Tom, would play hooky. What is playing hooky? That means like skipping school. Sorry, PG, I'm just guessing. I'm just prophesying now. Play hooky. And Lee, I can hear what hooky's like too, so okay, Lee. Maybe once, and then he got really killed, and then never did it again. But I play hooky. That's the kid. Parents are away, work, and their days, you know what? I just didn't feel like I'm sore. Especially on exam days. For some reason, exam days, test days, I got a turn in the paper. It's just remarkable. On those days, I just stood at the home school, and it was one of those many days. I go, you know what? I'm just not going to school. And the initial I had stopped it's like stealing. I used to steal M&M's and post this. Sorry, so you know, you're bad with the book, and I'm going to AMP and Firestone that afternoon, and me and my friends would run across the street. And we can say, we'll never do this again. This is so scary. But then the addiction of stealing, like, I was an early addict to shopping. It wasn't, like, stealing. What were worms for fishing? We stole that. I mean, we stole, like, silly things. But it wasn't the item per se, like candy. It was a thrill, like, that we feel guilty, and we would always say, we'll never do that again. But then the next week, but the thinking was like that. First, maybe 30 minutes. I'm running out of breath. At a funeral, I'm sure I'm alive. After 4, you know, like, you gotta think, you gotta come up with a part two. So one of those days, I was guilty, but then after about 30 minutes, I overcame my guilt. Then I was into, I'm gonna enjoy this thing. I go, I'm not in school. Why not enjoy? Oh, I think I'm going to go with that. I was taking a nap. I had the radio on. I was playing the radio. Dialed in. Some preacher on the radio, and I was just listening to it. And then I remembered the content. It said, Jesus is coming back, and he's going to divide the sheep and the goat. And immediately I got angry. To all the church people, like, no one told me that he's coming back. Like, what? That would be the Bible. I have a Bible. I would be Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And I, first thing I noticed, and why are you so repetitive? Like, it's the same story again and again. Like, why don't you just tell one story and get on with it? Like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, like, it's the same story. But in these, that's what I read. I didn't know he was going to come back. And he's going to come back and divide the sheep and the goats? Fear struck me. I just popped out of bed, got on my knees, and my prayer was to that. It was on Jesus. It was like, I don't want to be goats. That was it. I said, I don't want to be goats. I don't want to be goats. I got to go to church. That's what I said. I don't want to be goats. I want to be sheep. I'm going to go to church. Problem. We don't go to church. We are not a church-going family. But I lifted up that prayer. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And so remember the scene. I'm in the hallway. But it's not in the school level. And it's out in the hallway of my house. It's not like I have a big house. Certain scenes are frozen in my memory. I'm in the hallway coming out of my bedroom. My dad says, John, all your friends are Americans. You don't know who you are. You're Korean. And there's a church opening down on Wilson Lane. Next Sunday, you got to go to church. And I'm thinking, God's answering my prayer. My dad's not religious. When he said, all your friends are American, it's a story. I'm like, all your friends are Jewish, and I'm ready to turn Jewish. And okay? My friends are Jews. Well, that happens if you live in Missouri. Then you have a certain sense of, I have a Jewish sense of humor. Jewish sort of like me. You know, it's like really weird. I can't explain it. Jewish grandmothers love me. They love me. I've been to so many markets that every Jewish grandmother wants to dance with me. I go, what is going on here? And I realize there's commonalities. That sense of humor, education, youthfulness, just very Jewish. But when my father said that, that was an answer. That was the gift. That was the beginning of my journey of being a follower of Jesus. I still did not give my heart to complete Jesus. That took place 2 years later. A very powerful way. Many of them were left over. And after that encounter with Jesus, I said, Jesus, everything's left. I got to serve. Insatiable hunger to understand what it means to have Jesus at the center of the universe. I just think it's awesome. That's why I'm again, my parents did not know that this is important to me. I can't believe it either. It's like a liberal arts college, but it's Christian. It's like walking around my Christian year. It's like putting into a canvas of Christian. Okay. Because, like you, there's something, someone I love more than anyone. Me. Okay? I love my life and I love my future. I believe that there is a judgment. I believe that those who belong to Jesus will be with him forever. And those who don't believe in Jesus, there's some danger. I'll put it like that. There's real life in me. And even as an atheist, I understand. I don't have a whole lot of theology. I mean, my theology did not even include the second coming. Okay? My theology is no theology, not the greatest of all time. So I don't believe in your theology. Okay, that's what I mean. Okay? That was enough. He's going to come back. I believe it. And he will judge. And in that judgment, I want to be part of this people. I want to be sheep. And so that fear was an incredible gift to me. Without that fear, I would not be here. Not that this, me being here today is all that important. I would not be a follower of Jesus. Period. It's a gift. And so Jesus will come back. He will come as a judge. 100%. As a stone rising has said, he will come back and he will administer justice. That's why for a persecuted church, his role as judge is comforting. If the kingdom is the power of the Roman Empire screaming down your back, if you see a greater power behind Rome and this God will judge Rome itself. It will give you great comfort. Just like Koreans, when the Civil War started, once the Parthenon and the armed forces, the UN forces landed in Incheon, that was a great action of hope. When the Allies landed in Normandy, that was a great hope for Western Europe. When a greater power comes and backs you up, then all the lesser fears are diminished. If you're a French person and you know the Americans are coming, you can look at the Nazi and say, ha ha, your days are counted. When Jesus appears and he's going to right wrongs and he's going to judge, all people, all followers will be comforted. but stood out in the middle of fearfulness. Definitely those who do not know what they should be gripped with fear. And that's why even in this passage, it says all the people who have mourned. Why? Well, there's only two possibilities. Okay? One is that they'll be sorrowful. There'll be sorrowful repentance from sin, Zechariah 12:10. Or there'll be lamentation over divine judgment. Fear is an empowering. I mean, we have fear all around. I don't want to go through the whole list. Our culture is filled with fear of all kinds. Fear is probably most prevalent now than ever before. Fear is the root of anxiety, fear of the future, fear of people. Fear has been manipulated in the government, politics, to get you to do what you don't want to do. Fear of being ridiculed, fear of being fired. Fear is connected to trauma. Fear is manipulative. And the thing is, you can't overcome fear. If your life is in danger, you will be in a state of fear. So there's good fear, irrational, bad fear, and there is this holy fear. So fear is a gift. And that's why the Bible says, Proverbs 9:10. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. In modern translations, they don't like the fear as in, ooh! They love it. It's often like, you actually look at the Greek, I mean the Hebrew. The verb, yare, and the noun, yara. There are three sort of notions that overlap. Fear, reverence, and awe. The best book on this topic is a book that was published in 1917, Love Called. That highlighted, that's the term for the idea of this. So people who want to figure out, he's a Lutheran theologian, philosopher, parent, religious person, really good. This book influenced C.S. Lewis when he wrote the book, The Problem Came. It's not much ready to announce, but Rudolf Alvarez has been listened for the people's response in the Old Testament and says it's the use of Latin, mysterium, tremendum, fascinans. And so he says, well, when people look at God, they recognize God is a holy other. He's not like one of us. He's unfamiliar. He's a holy other. And there's a tremendous, there's a dread, there's a fear. There's a sense of being overwhelmed. But the third element is an aspect of passion. Despite that, there is an appeal. And I think he gets it right. God's holiness has that. It's the holy other. Woe is me! I'm a man of unclean lips. Lord, you're not like me. You're not like the mortals. So high and lift it up. You are sinless, you are powerful, you are holy. Woe is me! That's the tremendum and the mysterium. And yet, people in that presence are drawn. And yet, Lord, I find myself drawn to your holiness. That's what he's exploring here. My people don't have that frame of reference, they do whatever they want. There is a cost in our lives when we don't have your will. For example, I mean, the Apostle Paul understood this thing. Romans 3, well, I'm going to look at verse 19. He's unpacking this notion of sin in Gentiles and the Jews. And he compiles some passages from the Old Testament. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage to the Jews? Not at all, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. And then he's going to use passages from the Bible to describe the nature of sin. Okay? There's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And such woe is the culture that lacks the fear of the Lord. Woe is a church culture that lacks the fear. Because without the fear, there is no need upon it. There is no need for the one. Deep respect, deep awe, deep reverence is based on the nature of God. And by its nature, it will make each one of us complete. Not all discomfort is bad. Fear, in the right way, the right person, is necessary for spiritual life. If I take casually, nonchalantly, if there's no fear in me, no, then I just do whatever. The commandments will be like a suggestion. I just live my life according to my whims, my desires, and then I'll just say, hey, that will be peace, right? I don't know about you, that's how I would live. But if I know, my goodness, the life I live will need a counselor, then it's another story. The words I say, the actions I do matter to God, and I need to give them back. Then I'm going to think twice about my overly casual behavior. My common, my spirit, my faces, my value in this sin or that sin. That's the end of it all. Sean, why are you so intense, man? Yeah, the Christianity is full of love and joy. For many days, maybe people choose that. You choose that kind of Christianity, and many people do. So maybe when I was a kid, I heard a lot of fire and brimstone sermons. Not that I'm a fan of it, but there were a lot of it. Almost every, not every, but many youth rallies, but was that, like, you know, people respond. These days, I almost never hear. I was never there. The culture has to be. But to the detriment in this respect, in your the Lord. Something to love. Fear of the Lord is something for all of us to assess value. Do I have this fear of the Lord? Do I hold God in awe and reverence? Is there something about God's holiness that stops me in my tracks now that makes me reconsider? Makes me do an audit of my life. Makes me reflective. Am I living to peace? Do I have it? And if you have it, how would you do it? Praise be to the Lord. So that's what all of you walk in a faith way. And we've got to honor the Lord. In the way that the Lord applies to the Lord. Also, that kind of life, that kind of attitude, will translate into the feeding spirit. It's here for a lot of things. It's here for the end of time. See where I'm coming from. She would rather have him die than honor the Lord with his son. That's like she knew, like, ultimately, it's not a matter of how long you live. Are you honoring the Lord? Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed of Jesus. Are you living your lives rightly before the Lord? What helps is a dose of the Spirit. A dose of this awareness. God, you are awesome. You hold the keys of life and death. Jesus himself says in the book, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body of Jesus. What do you mean? Do not be afraid of them. And after that, can do no more. But I tell you, but I will show you who you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Just talk about himself. Requires it's contrasting. Don't fear someone who can kill your body. Whoa. That's our biggest fear in life. Someone who has the power to snuff us. So, someone who got to be more. Someone who can judge you for all of this. Body is temporary, your soul is here. Of course, behind that is an invitation to escape that. This is the whole Genesis beginning of the first revolution. He was such a conscious, stricken man. He never knew whether he was justified. He was a evil man and a superior monk in Augustinian, just like the term of Augustinian. He would go to the superior, confess every little sinner. And the superior of that soaked that up and said, Luther, Martin, when you have been a real vixen, then come and talk. Don't bring up all these small sins. Like, I don't have time. But he was so conscious of it. So when he found in the study of Galatians and Rome that we are justified by Jesus, instead of being from the judgment of sin, judgment from God's wrath. Christ. But I'm going to say, I'm going to sin boldly because grace is bigger than set his heart free from the pure of conscience. And in Christ Jesus, there is salvation in his grace. But you can't have a room like this. From Luther, the answer to the fear of what's going to happen to my soul is answered by the brother. You're messed up. More messed up than other people. But there is mercy. Jesus died for you. He will be sheep. And for the rest of you, I'm a casual sinner who was put it in God's words. Appreciative of the fault of Jesus. That means the reality of the cross to the rest. Set him free from the fear of punishment. But it also maintains this awesome reverence in God. So my closing prayer is this, that the fear of God is your being mercy. The fear of the Lord cannot save your own Jesus for the beginning of the saving life. That the fear of the Lord will be the source of walking right in. May the fear of the Lord remove the places and the times. May the fear of the Lord let the time take you up. May the fear of the Lord make you sensitive and focused. May the fear of the Lord bring some sense of maturity into your life. May the fear of the Lord remove you from a terrorist mindset to some of the serious citizens of God. May the fear of the Lord strengthen you. The fear of the Lord remove all the sins. The fear of God is not created in us. The fear of the Lord is separated all under fear, including the fear of man, or people that have things around us. The fear of the Lord removes every other thing. But the future, use be able to feel the Lord give you strength and nourishment, give you conviction to live this life of it. That's what it's about. For you and I to live this life. Father, we just come before you humbly. Jesus, you